Hey, you guys, welcome back to Listen Bitch Presents. Tell me why you're special. This is the arena. It's not where people talk about what they're gonna do. It's where people show up and actually build it. Messy, uncertain, still figuring it all out. Because here's the truth. You weren't created to play small or to follow the nose. The nose? Follow the noise. I know words today, you guys. God's DNA is in you, which means you were built to create, to lead and to become and to actually do something with your life. Not someday, but now. And the things that you've been through, the mistakes, the pivots, the stuff that didn't work, you guys, that's not wasted. That's your message. So if you're in it, not perfect, but still showing up, you're in the right place. And today I'm so excited. First of all, I know most of my American friends are going to ooh and ah and oogle over her accent because, like, I'm already like, I just can't wait. She's gonna talk the whole time. I'm not gonna interrupt this beautiful voice with mine. So, but I want to introduce Karen Roberts today, and she's not here to talk about podcasting like it's a hobby. Okay, so if you're a podcaster, which a lot of you guys are, if you know you need a show, I really want you to tune in today, and I don't want to give too much of her story away at all. So let's start here. My first question, Karen, is that first of all, thank you so much for your time and being here. And second of all, let's have your elevator pitch. Like, what exactly do you do?
So, well, first of all, thank you for having me. And secondly, it's quite interesting that the Americans seem to love my accent, but I'm sure the Brits would just think it's really not that great, right? But what I do now, as I would admit that I failed my way here, right? This wasn't a smooth ride. And what I do now, comes about because I just see so many exhausted coaches out there. They're constantly posting, chasing engagement or vanity metrics, and feeling like they've got to prove themselves. So I help coaches use podcast guesting as a more of a strategic business growth tool. So making it intentional, but it goes a lot deeper than that. It's about building borrowed authority, I suppose, if you like. It's about getting in the right rooms, having organic, authentic conversations, but also how to turn the listeners into premium buyers. And yeah, it's been a long journey, but I think I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, I love that. And I mean, your energy is just so tangible, and I love that you can feel just how amazing you are when you come in the room. So I definitely feel that alignment, and like you just feel very, you're safe and you're powerful, you know? So I love that. You're definitely where you're meant to be. When I'm reading through your bio, you said you started with a feel good podcast. And so my question is, because I have one of those, okay, kind of. It's more like a tough love, right? But my question is, when did you realize that it's not enough?
Oh, well, in all honesty, I was getting to the stage where it was like, if something doesn't change, quite frankly, I'm going to be bankrupt by the end of the year, right? That was the bottom line. I built my business completely backwards. Like you said, it was a passion project in the beginning. It started back in, well, I suppose I started really in 2020. I put in an online summit. Do you remember those days? We won't even mention the horrific time that we all had across the globe.
Summit.
And I just wanted to lift spirits, right? And I'm 100% ADHD. Of course, I blooming am. I've learned that along the way, right? Through interviewing ADHD coaches, and it all makes sense. But I needed something to learn. I've got to be constantly learning, right? So I put on an online summit. I interviewed 20 different coaches. Some were in the mental health arena, some were in the physical arena, like personal trainers, yoga, Pilates, things like that, and others more the spiritual. And I did that really just to lift people's spirits during that horrible time. And what came from that is I was approached by a radio station and offered a radio show. And of course, I said yes. I didn't know why I was saying yes to it. I just realized I loved that space. I was genuinely interested in hearing about all these different therapies or fitness programs or self-development things. I was genuinely interested in, well, Why do you do what you do? You know, how did you get here? And so, yeah, I was offered the show. So for me, although I didn't have a plan, I didn't have a strategy, I was thought I'd just figure it out along the way. But because of that start, I think I had a bonus because from my perception, I had to. It wasn't like, oh, I haven't got a show for this week, I'll do it next week. I felt like I had to produce a 60-minute show, right, for this radio station. So I did that for over a year before I just continued with the podcast. So I had created a habit. And the problem I see is so many people launch these things. They might be starting out as hobby projects, but they give up too soon. And I could never understand why, but because I think I had an easier, in a way, start, as in it was outside of me, if that makes sense. So I had that accountability. I had more accountability to keep going. So I had created a habit by then, which maybe a lot of other people don't have that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
so, with regards to, you know, I thought it was a fun name, right? My podcast originally was called A Coffee with Karen, a cup of positivity with just a sprinkling of woo-woo. Now, I thought it was fun, but there was no link to, nobody knew what I did. It was all about the guest, all about the guest. And so the whole of my business was completely disjointed. And it just needed, by the end of it, just everything I realized everything needed to be in alignment. So it was really back against the wall. If I don't change something, I'm going to be out of business completely. So now let's look at it as an intentional business growth tool.
Yeah. No, I think that's incredible. And my only thing right now is I say this, I've this is like the third time I've said this. I also have a neurospicy brain and I can't take notes at the same time that I'm actually engaging with you. And so I'm like, man, this is so great. Like you're definitely speaking to me, which means you have hit my audience, you know. It's you've got them. So I love that. I love this. You're it's like the perfect show. Like you should have been my first guest, right? Like, because everyone that's come on the show needs to listen to this because everybody has a podcast. And I mean, that is the truth. Like, why do you think so many of them, and I'm talking to them every single day, multiple times a day, like really smart, capable coaches, and they're just staying stuck. They're just staying stuck. It's like the, you know, the best kept secret.
Yeah, I see it all the time. I think, and again, look, this is just my opinion, right? And there are lots of other opinions out there, right? Take your pick as to what resonates with you. But the way I see it, it might be slightly different to others. I think many coaches launch a podcast for visibility, brand awareness, and they're not maybe using it as specifically as a business growth tool. They want to teach, and it comes from a good place. It comes from a place from them really genuinely wanting to help others. But what I've found might not be true for everybody, but just showing up to teach and give value doesn't necessarily turn into clients or actual sales. Because people can nod along and, okay, yeah, thanks for that information and do nothing about it. And what I found is, yeah, you want to, you know, I used to do some solo episodes and then more interview, but the way I see it is if you want to use it as a business growth tool, interviews if are going to help you grow your podcast and business a lot quicker than if you were starting out from scratch and you don't have a big audience like I did when I started. It's going to take a long time. You've got to accept that this is a long-term strategy. However, if you combine that with a short-term strategy of, you know, think about your being intentional about who you invite on as a guest. It could actually really work in your favor and help you grow your podcast. I feel that a lot, everybody wants to be a guest, right? Everyone wants to come on the show. And
Artist.
unfortunately, A lot of them want to just come on to you, use your platform to get in front of your audience. And they sort of forget about you, Brandon.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're missing out on possibly the most powerful thing, and that is building relationships with the blooming host,
Yeah.
right? And if you're hosting, you're missing out on building a relationship with the guest. And I think this gets missed sometimes. A lot of guests come on because they want that platform to put themselves out there, and they're like, have you asked the host anything about them and what they're doing? And is there any opportunity to collaborate? They could be a referral partner. They could be a potential client if done in the right way without being pushy or salesy.
Yeah.
Then, of course, it's the episode. Yes, of course, you've got to deliver value. And from there, I think for some, they come to it from a place of maybe a little bit of scarcity. They don't want to give their secrets away.
Right.
And I'm like, well, if you're going to be too vague, right, is that really giving the listeners any real value? Don't be afraid to give your best secrets away, because otherwise, how are the people going to trust you? And
Exactly.
I feel that podcasting is such a massive opportunity to build that know, like, and trust. Because unless you're a top copywriter, like I'm not, right? I'm really not a top copywriter. My branding, I know, could be a lot better. I'm not a graphic designer. I have my own skill set. And the thing is, look, if you want to build that trust factor in today's world, especially with the growth of AI. And I'm not dissing AI. Let me say that. I use that to save me time on certain things. However, if people are just using AI to maybe do all their posts on social media, people are getting a little bit tired of that already. And the beauty of a podcast is that it is authentic. It's a conversation. I don't know what you're going to ask me. So it's organic, it's natural. And I really, truly believe that moving forwards, every business is going to need a podcast because people buy from people they know, like, and trust. And what better way to really sort of feel like you know the CEO or whatever is through watching them every week or listening to them and hearing how they articulate what's going on and having these conversations. And I think that's only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And, my only thing is to say, just don't give up.
Yeah.
Just don't give up. If you make a commitment to completion, you just keep showing up. You will build on that trust over time, but don't expect it to happen overnight.
I'm obsessed with so much that you're saying right now, and I think one of the things I kind of want to go back to that you were talking about is how people want to sit on their biggest secrets. And to me, that's a big tell for someone who doesn't see the big picture of like what their goals are. Because the thing is, like anybody can find any of the information you share, anybody can find your secret, but it's being in that proximity to that relatability to an actual human who's going to look at you personally and walk you through it. I could post the biggest secrets online and a lot of people are going to be stuck on like, how do I actually apply this? Or, not have that one-on-one space. And I'm like, everybody sits on the secrets. I literally just started. It's like a week old. I started a podcast support group, and one of my friends is like, "You're literally giving everything away that you charge for." I'm like, "Yeah, but you understand, like, this is stuff that they're seeing me. They know who I am. They're seeing me post that. And when they're ready to take that to the next level, who are they going to message? They're going to want to be in the container." So, yeah, the sitting on the secret, I think it's too much, like it's
100%. You're talking my language. I love what you just shared there. This is exactly what I want to get through to people is, when I don't know about you, but if I get towards the end of the show and I might say, what should the listeners do next? If this resonates with them, or where can people find you? And they say, oh, you can find me on LinkedIn, you can find me on Insta, go to my website. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you've just wasted an opportunity. Or they want to take them to a lead magnet. So listen to that. You know what a lead magnet is people just want to. I mean, they got part of it right. You need to pull people into your world, but they want to give them something really easy and quick to make. You know, they don't really put any effort in it. And who wants to download a cheat fudge sheet or whatever? Nobody wants
Nobody
that.
does that anymore.
Not anymore. And the what I say is no, give them an immersive experience of what it would look like working with you. And so really go at it. Give them your best stuff, like you just said, your best secrets, because yeah, then your higher ticket offer is the implementation of that. Because we all know, like you just said, you could give all your secrets away. People aren't going to take action. They're just not. They just don't. We know that, right? Whereas if they want the shortcut way, well, of course, if you've given that much value, then they do trust you now because they know what you're talking about. They're going to come and ask you, Brandon, can you help me actually put this into action? And that is the goal. And that's what we say is like, do the work, and I get it. It will take a long time to get this right. But put all your energy into making this really a high value over delivering so that people really get to experience what it be like to work with you. You know, something the more time you have with somebody, the more likely they are going to purchase. So if you do the work on the front end, and it's a lot easier on the back end, but everybody's going for this instant gratification. Really, they just want to do a video on TikTok and let it go viral, and all these sales are going to come in. Well, I'm sure it happens for some, Alex Hormozy. But you know, for us mere mortals, unless I'm doing something really, really wrong, it hasn't worked for me yet. But you know, if the more you give, I think the more you get. So do the work on the front end, and what we've found is that is just a much better way of bringing people into your world, and if it does resonate with them, and yeah, you can use deadlines and discounts to encourage people to move and actually take action on it. But that seems to work the best. And yeah, you've got to be visible, right? And this is the thing, everybody's fighting almost for visibility, for to attract people on social media. But what do, Brandon? Do you, I scroll. I scroll, I scroll. I don't really pay a lot of attention, if I'm honest. But I'll support people that I know are, even if I'm not interested in their thing, I'm going to hit that love, you know, just to support them. So people are looking at these metrics. Well, that doesn't necessarily turn into clients or actual your top line revenue. And I think we've got so obsessed with this chasing these ego metrics. Right, vanity metrics, right? And it's why I would much rather have 50 listeners that are really my target audience that I'm actually helping than 10,000 listeners who aren't, you know, who are not going to have any interest in what I do.
And people don't understand that. I've seen, people with the greatest following couldn't sell a t-shirt to sell to save their lives, right? And then, I even said this in an episode this week already that I have a book that didn't make it to the Amazon bestseller list yet. So I did a 3-day push this week. So I put up like 4 or 5 posts every single day, and maybe 12 people saw a post here or there. Nobody liked it. Maybe a comment here and there. Y'all, I don't know where I'm at today, but yesterday morning I was number 4.
Oh, congrats, massive congratulations. Number one, just for even being an author. Hello. And then for doing that. And you're so right, because people think, and they do this with podcasts, right, as well. I say, stop the one and done. Even guests do. They'll post once. And you're like, come on. You know, I don't know how many, you know, over all the social media platforms, I don't know. I've got maybe 30, I don't, 30,000, I don't know. I've got 6,000 here and 5,000, whatever. But if only, right, every time I posted, they all saw it. But you know how it goes, the algorithm. When you look at the impressions, you're like, you know, a few hundred people saw that. So yeah, I post every single day, 3 or 4 times a day. Why? Well, I'm not going to annoy the people who are following me because they're not going to see 3 to 4 posts. They might in a month cycle, they might see a reel, one of my call to action posts, maybe the actual podcast or the YouTube or the blog article over a month. And so, yes, I'm with you there. You've got to continually post and stop, just get rid of any concern or thought about who's liking or who's commenting. Like, chill. Because if you did a funny meme about a cat, right, you'll get loads of likes and comments. You do anything to do with your business, it just doesn't happen. But it doesn't mean people aren't watching. And you've just proved that. You've just moved your book up. Well done. Well done, you. And that's just proof that that works.
And that's what I want people to know. And I think too, everybody's getting caught up in like this, the Instagram curated perfection. And so a lot of what I've made important in my brand, I'm 560 episodes in my first podcast. And so
Wow.
I needed that too. Like I needed to commit to that before any of this other stuff would ever happen. I do it by myself. And I needed that to be able to grow into someone who could be a great host. And I wasn't going to host unless I knew, like Brandon, unless you're going to like really let people shine, it's not going to work. But just being able to take people and break down their story to make it relatable, like this is messy and it does take a long time. I'm in this. What I started this show 2 months ago, and I have a 1 year game plan. I don't expect anybody to respond to my group. I don't expect anybody to, I don't expect the podcast to go viral, but I know for the next year, I'm going to be consistent. 3 posts a day in that group, telling them everything, every experience. I had a bad interview for the first time in my life, and it was horrific, and I shared that. I'm like, man, this really sucked. And I ate crow tonight, and it was embarrassing, and I hurt my guests' feelings. And like, I'm taking them through the reality of what this looks like. So there's never going to be a
Oh.
day where I'm like, it's going to be overnight. And let's stick in the reality of this. If you're willing to do it, it has to come from that place of like, it could take time. And maybe it's going to take a year.
Yes.
Maybe it's going to take 6 months. Maybe it's a month from now. But all I know is in my mind, I'm like, you know what? I've got this for a year. I can do it. I've proven the consistency, right? I've created the habit. Like you said,
Yes.
I've created the habit. I can do this. And that's it. It's that commitment of like, there's no expectation. I'm going to do the work. And that's
And
it.
that's the most difficult thing. And I do think something you just said there really resonated. And it's we do have to find a way to be detached from the outcome. Like, just keep showing up. Like you said, make that commitment. Just keep going. Like, man, it took me well over 2 years to even get traction. And then I really thought, because of my ADHD brain, I'm very good, or I have been in the past, very good at starting things, not so good at finishing things. And the moment I was made aware of that and that it is the ADHD, I was like, right, okay, this time, no, I am not stopping until I make a success of this. And I went from one show a week to 3 shows a week and just went all in on really like pushing, pushing, pushing. And we did see massive traction. However, the downside, as many ADHDers face as well, I hit a wall, right? I hit that burnout because back then I was doing everything myself. And yeah, I couldn't keep up. I did it for 7 months and then I reduced back to two. And now I do one. But it's different now. I've got tea, everything's flowing. And of course, these days with all the AI tools, oh my goodness. Now I think, how on earth did I even do the show notes and this and that and the other? Now it's just like, boom, I've created my own custom trained chat GPT, upload the transcription, boom. It gives me everything that I've asked it for specifically. So, yeah, we live in such an amazing time that there are so many tools out there that are making life super, super easy for us podcasters so that it doesn't take as much time because, as you know, it's you know there's it does even with the tools, it's still going to take time, energy, money, because it's not just finding the guest. Thank you, Alex Sanfilippo. Shout out to Podmatch. Oh my goodness, how did I do it before? And then, of course, all the other stuff you need to do to edit and produce it and promote it and turn it into all these different assets. Of course, there's a lot of energy that goes behind it, but there is no time like now to do it because, yes, our lives have been made so much easier.
Yeah. But not just that. I mean, tying that together with what you were saying earlier, the fact that there is so much AI and people are exhausted of that, I think podcasting right now is the most incredible move that anybody's going to make because people are going to miss that humanity. I mean, you've got Hollywood talking about every actor is going to be AI now. Like, people are genuinely going to miss like hearing a natural voice and hearing, everything. And I've learned, like, I'm one of those people, I'm a writer. So I write this incredible post on Facebook and I look and I see three people copy and paste it on their wall, right? And that to me is like the worst thing you could do. I'm like, block, 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 block. And what I've realized doing the show is that even if someone, did a transcript of my show and said word for word everything I said, they're never going to replicate my energy. They're never going to replicate who I am behind the voice. Like, you can't copy and paste me here. So this is the greatest playground I feel like I'll ever have to be able to create. And that's what I am. I'm a creator. So this is my safe space in a lot of places. But our voices are going to be everything. So number one, yeah, you have the greatest tools at your disposal. Claude is actually building, redoing my website for me. Like, I am so anti-tech. Girl, I don't even edit. I drop my Zoom into the box and I'm done. Like, I, that's it. I don't edit. I keep it as simple as I can because I am so anti everything. Like, I plug in a microphone. I'm like, wow, that worked. Cool. Doing that for me, that would have taken me months to try to go to Google and take each step. And I've got the coding. I have everything. It's like a copy and paste experience. So yes, we have the greatest point in time where we have the most help. How easy to create the graphics. Okay, like everything is just right there and it's simple, but also people need your voice. And so you put those two things together, you're unstoppable.
100%. I really feel that, just do it. And I know a lot of people will think, oh, in the beginning, oh, who's going to listen to me? I felt like that, and I think when I started, because I was just being, I shouldn't say just being, I was the host, but maybe I was hiding behind it as well. And it took me, well, it took me 200 episodes to actually even do a solo. Because again, I think I was hiding behind, I had this perception of, and this is a mindset issue that I was going through, that people are coming for my guest, which I'm sure they were, when it was called A Coffee with Karen. And actually, when I did change and bring it into alignment with business, I massively dropped. Right. And this is another lesson about stop chasing the vanity metrics. I was at one point at its height, I was in the top 1% globally. And when I did change it, obviously it changed categories. I didn't start a new one. I just redid the current one. I don't know where I am. I went down to about 10%. I think I'm sitting at 5%.
Yeah.
But what it means is, so for some people, they'll be like, oh, you failed. No, I
Right.
didn't. I didn't. Now it's more niched. So it's the people that I want listening to it. So again, it's like it doesn't matter how many people are listening if they're the right people. So yes, I'm glad that I've got less followers and less listeners because now they're obviously listening because they want to hear what we're talking about, right? So it's just another sort of verification, if you like, that you don't have to chase big numbers. You can be very successful, like I said, with just 50 listeners, right? You could have a very successful podcast if it's really geared to that particular audience. So just, don't worry about it. Think about it as it is a long-term strategy. If you think you're going to be in business for the next 10 years, man, does it matter if it takes 5 years to build?
Exactly.
Right. And the longer you've been going, you've built that know, like, and trust factor because you've shown that you show up every week. So you've built so much trust there that, it's not the same with social media. People aren't going to scroll back and see a post that you wrote 5 years ago.
Exactly.
Whereas with a podcast, they can easily go back. People go back and listen to old podcast episodes all the time. And because it's there that you can see. So it's proof that you do show up, and that will go a long way for them to maybe decide that, you are the right fit for them.
Yeah, that's the time. What do you think is the biggest lie that people believe about podcasting right now?
Oh, the biggest lie that people believe, that you've got to be famous to be successful.
That's a good one.
Absolute rubbish.
Yeah.
And I truly believed, when I launched my network, and I was very naive, I'll admit, when I launched it, because I just thought, this is a great way to get your message out there to people who need to hear it. Here you go. And I wasn't giving them any guidance. I just thought, well, it's just like how I suppose it's how I came into it. I was just offered a show and just left to get on with it. So I did the same, right? So you learn by, what's happened with you. And it was only when I got to the point where people aren't quite getting it on their own, maybe I need to do more, right? But my original thought process was that, because everybody I was interviewing had all these, say it was on the therapy side of it, right? But there was all these different types of therapies, and you just think, well, they all work for the right person. But if you don't know about it, and podcasting allows people to share about it, so maybe a listener will go, oh, well, that sounds like me, and maybe that person can help me. So it was a real, people do need to hear your message. It's not going to resonate with everybody. And guess what? That's okay.
And that's the same message, because I think a lot of people too, and I've heard this, like people, when I'm talking about the shows I do, I feel that resistance where they're like, there's so many podcasts now, everybody's doing it, it's oversaturated market. And like that's the biggest cop out. I mean, obviously you guys look at pizza places, look at coffee places, nobody's hurting for business when they're right across the street from each other. But the thing is that your story, like your blessing, your God-given everything is packaged up already. And the minute you share that, you get your audience. And like my audience is not going to be the same. Our audiences are never going to be the same, you know?
100%.
So I think everything you said, people need to apply that same thought process to the idea that the market is saturated.
And people think that their story isn't interesting enough. Because I don't know, there could be some people have really dramatic origin stories, right? And they think that their one isn't enough, but it is. Everybody has a story. Every story is valid. And there will be somebody out there that's going, oh, that's where I'm at now.
Yes.
Right. So, and when people can get over this, I don't know about you, when they send the bio to read at the beginning. I mean, I ask people to just be really specific, because what I've realized is nobody cares. Nobody cares about your accolades, your achievements. How long you've been doing X, Y, Z? They actually don't care. What they care about is the story, because if they see themselves in that story, it gives them hope. And that goes back to me saying, I suppose, that you don't have to be, you really, really don't have to be famous to be successful in podcasting. And I do maybe see it as sometimes if it is somebody super, super famous, they might, in the listener's perspective, they're so far out there that they're not relevant to them. And they want to hear somebody that's a little bit more close, closer to them, right? And so that they resonate with the story, and it's real, right? They don't want to hear about these superstars anymore. I do think, that side of things, we're coming away from that. There's so much bad publicity about them all anyway. So they want to hear the real struggles, and people think that they've got to put up this front that, everything's going super well and I've got this and I've got that. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
What they actually want to hear is that you struggle too. When I say, all honesty, I was close to bankruptcy. That's not a lie. That's not a made up story. It was. I was close. And I think it just, if that can inspire somebody who maybe is close to that right now to not give up, man, I've done my job. I've done my job. So don't be afraid to share your vulnerability or your challenges, because that is actually what people want to know, that it's okay if they're feeling that now, that there is hope for them.
And that's, you've just spoken everything about how I feel about why I even created the show. Every other interview show I'm listening to, it's about all the amazing things they've done. And I'm like, at this, nobody wants to hear this. Like, that's not what makes you special. No more do you get a gold star for your suffering than a gold star for like the big fancy house. Like, literally nobody cares. And it's, that's my whole point of the show. What makes you special? And, you know, every guest I've had knows, you know, it's not the accolades, it's not the rewards. It's like I was knocked down 100 times and I got back up 101 times. And that's the magic. I don't care if someone's listening right now and they've been on the couch watching Netflix for a year. That's a damn story. That is a huge
Yeah.
story to say, like, I've just been in it. I've been in it and I'm ready to crawl out of the hole. Who's coming with me? Like, that's power. I'd be like, oh, I want to see this journey. Like, I've been
Yes.
in holes before. I want to see what I'm rooting for you. You know, nobody's going to care if she doesn't speak for 6 months and she wins the lottery and gets her life together. She's like, guess what happened? No, I don't care about that. I want to know the tea of like how you crawled out of the hole, you know, the bruises, the scars, like tell me all that. But like, how would you speak to the audience? Because I think this is a thing too with a lot of people, even people I've interviewed where I can kind of feel that. Like, how do you show up with authority without feeling fake or salesy?
Oh, hard one. Well, I do feel that you're not on a podcast to sell anything, right? Although you could be sort of selling without selling by just sharing your story. If your story can, the way I see it is, if you can shift the belief in a listener for them to just come to the conclusion themselves, oh, I hadn't thought of it like that before. Or maybe I could do it. You know, that is the idea. I think that's the way I see it anyway, especially if you are some kind of coach. You know, the best thing is you don't tell people this is what you need. You know, for me, I'm not going to tell people you need to launch a podcast or you need to start guesting on podcasts. It's if they hear the story and they think, oh, well, I'd like to do that. And I do think maybe it does suit ADHDers. So if you're ADHD, I think this is the perfect way to grow your business, because it's you're having different conversations with different people every single time. It makes it interesting. But it's not just for ADHDs. If you're more introverted, don't worry, you can do just audio. You don't have to go on camera. So it really is, I feel that it's something for everybody. But then how do you move people along the sales journey, if you like, to come into your world? And that goes back to, I would say, create something that's fully immersive. So yes, it's going to take a while. We have like a four-part mini course, right? And what I do is, because we all know that, I don't know whether you've signed up for stuff and actually never watched it. So to encourage people to go through it, we offer a little bit of a carrot and say, look, for the action takers, if you actually go through the mini course and complete the assignment, I'll give you this thing. I'll
Nice.
give you this training. So it's you're using a carrot and a stick, right? Well, you're rewarding people for taking action. And then, because what I found a lot of coaches, we you sort of touched on this earlier about sales. Most coaches don't like sales. They don't come from a sales background. I do. I've probably done over 5,000 sales calls for different companies over the years. And I thought, I don't want to do them anymore. So, so part of the four-part mini course really removes the need to do a sales call, right? So it's fully automated. Who doesn't, you know, that's what I wanted to get away from. And so it's a very hands-off, if you like. And which is the way I see podcasting. The way I see it is, you know, when I said earlier that a lot of people think, oh, I can't do that. Who's going to listen to me? Sort of thing. Beauty is, if people like, not everyone's going to resonate with me, right? I get a bit excited and get a bit passionate about stuff. I could be a little bit all over the place. I'm not going to resonate with certain people, and that is okay. And the beauty of the podcast is, well, guess what? They're not listening. So I get to show up for those who are. So it's like you don't face any rejection. And it's the same with this system. You don't have to face any rejection because the people who like it will go through it. And the people that resonate with your whole process are going to put their hand up because you're going to give a discount and a deadline and they're into your program. It's such a relief that you don't have to be push your sales. It's just like, here it is. Do you like what you see? Yes or no? If not, good luck anyway. It's all good.
I love that. Okay, first of all, I'm so in this conversation, I wasn't even watching the clock. Okay, so
Oh.
I have one more question for you because I have another show coming up here in a few minutes. So I have another question for you, and then I want you to tell everybody where they can get into your submersive program. But right now, currently, where are you still refining, stretching, leveling up? What is your growing pains right now?
For me, it is guesting more. Like I have been way too comfortable being the host. And so this year, my plan is to get on as many other podcasts as I can and to actually get back to speaking on stage, which is something I haven't done for the last couple of years. Live events, getting back into the live event sort of arena, which I haven't been since pre-COVID, I
Same.
have to say. Yeah, it's a long time. I don't know. It's like a dead
Yeah.
period of years for me. It's like, well, I
Yeah.
don't know what I don't really know what happened. So yes, that's my goal now is to really sort of expand on that side of things.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. So this is the part of the show where I get to tell you what makes you special, okay? And it's not just that you figured out podcasting, right? It's that you saw a gap that a lot of people are suffering through and you didn't ignore it. And you took yourself to the limits of, failure, the things that would make people quit. Every single thing, the bankruptcy, the losing the listeners, all of this. You kept going. And so now you realize like people aren't failing because they're not good enough. They just didn't have the strategy. And I feel like instead of staying in the feel good version of it, you have built something that works. Like you are a breath of fresh air because you are just full of the honesty. And it is easier to tell people what they want to hear. I've watched really toxic coaches continue to monetize on that, but you're helping them with what they need to hear that will actually help them change. And I think that's incredible. And now, I mean, to help people go from hidden to visible to paid, that's an incredibly special gift. Like your energy, there is just so much about you that I know there's not another you, there's not another voice of Karen that exists in this moment. And first of all, I'm gonna be obsessed. I'm following everything. So just know that when you see a new stalker coming through, I'm gonna find all things Karen, okay? Because I just think you're fabulous. And to everyone listening, you guys don't need more information. You actually just need to take the action. Like, you know where you've been playing small and you already know what's not working. So it's time to fix it because God didn't put all that in you for no reason. You are meant to build, you're meant to lead, you're meant to become someone that people can follow and look up to. So I'm calling you to be contagious, to be courageous, to be magnetic. And please do not forget this. Your mess is your message. So I need you to stop hiding it and start using it. If the episode hit, please subscribe, share it, send it to someone who needs it. And when you're ready, please come step into my arena. I do have show notes. So, Karen, where do people go to get that submersive experience with you?
So it's really easy. Podcastprofitsunleashed.com. That's the website /free. You will get access to a custom trained ChatGPT. If you're not a natural storyteller, I'm not either, right? It will help you prep your story, right? So that's a free gift to your listeners. But on that page as well, you'll have access to the guesting formula.
Yeah, fabulous. You guys get resourced. I know this is probably going to be the greatest episode ever. I'm excited to share it all over every platform. And I don't always get excited about that, to be honest. But people need your message. And I think the work you're doing is amazing. So I'll see you guys in the arena again. Thank you so much for your time, Karen.
Thank you.